This is very untypical. You are all so silent. I'm not used to this. We just wait a little bit more, 2 minutes or so, and then we will start the program. But it's since I have already the microphone, it's so nice to see all of you. Really, I said to Manu, wow, these are all devotees and people I can imagine to be with, you know. And he said that when he saw the registrations coming in, he was also noticing that you are all very sincere practicing devotees while you have not given up your own creativity in life. That's very nice. Good. I think, Manu, you were the one who is introducing us to the retreat, no? So, ladies and gentlemen, take your both hands for a massive round of applause. for our gracious host who is facilitating us, Hari Bol.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, this is a team effort. There's a lot of wonderful devotees involved in this retreat that's been going on, at least in this particular format, for the last 3 years. And what we've noticed is that every year, those who come, they come back and they bring a few friends along, which is, of course, wonderful and a testament of the quality of the chanting and the immersion we do within the holy names. Now, we spent a lot of our year working, traveling with family, doing many things, and this is one of those rare opportunities where we get to be in a place that is not our own, a place that is meant for spiritual depth, for spiritual practice. And so what I wanted to share and request is everyone just to take this opportunity whilst you're here in Radhesh on this very beautiful retreat to immerse yourself within the chanting, to immerse yourself also with a first-class quality of association of Sangha that you have here in the room, and take full opportunity to be deconnected from what is in our daily lives and connect what is within the heart, what is there in our spiritual lives. So, yes, please take this seriously and try to be here for as many sessions, if not all the sessions that you can be, because there is going to be nectar in all of them. And so if you miss out on something, it's a bit sad. So you want to be sure to be present for every drop that may flow down. Yeah, we want to start on a timely basis. It's 6 o'clock, 6:01 now. So it is time for Maharaj to lead us in these first steps on this retreat. And wishing everyone a wonderful evening and a wonderful 4 days here together. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyavira Hari. Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Valla Va Giri Varada Vee. Gopi dana vallava Giri varada ji Yasoda nandana Raja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana Raja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sri Radhe Jaya Nityananda Ram Nityananda Ram Nityananda Ram Jaya Nityananda Ram
Hare Krishna.
Jai Hari Satana Maharaj Ke.
Thank you so much. Yes, there may be many more people coming. So I heard this is a well-visited retreat, so please make use of the front seats. First of all, I want to extend a very warm welcome to all of you. It is my great pleasure, a very, very eventful summer period comes to the end for me. And before I go to the sacred land of India, this is the last major retreat which I'm able to facilitate. So it's an event I have looked forward to, and now it is here. I think throughout the retreat I will be able to greet all of you individually, because many of you are known to me in affectionate ways and personal ways. I have been part of your life and you part of mine. But please allow me to greet all of you with a collective Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. I'm very happy that you came. I must say I'm rarely nervous because I have done lectures, big kirtans, and conferences throughout more than 5 decades in my life. But when it comes to the Holy Name retreat, I am very nervous, because it always reminds me of a theme of my childhood, plucking or catching the lightning from the sky. When I was a little child, I was a literature, not little child, when I was a youth, I was a literature lover. And perhaps one of my favorite books described a scientist who had a dream in some ways put together a human being and then bring the lightning from the sky through a complex mechanism into this human being, which up till now was not more than a person formed from clay, just from matter, and enliven him and make him walk and talk and act like a normal human being. In some ways he wanted to play God, I think. I was always fascinated with the possibility to contact a different entity, bring that entity in our life. It could be an energy, it could be a potency, and then upgrade our lives millions of times. And when I became a devotee, I knew that what I was looking for was the sacred mantra, the holy names of the Lord, which when they come into the psyche of a human being and the heart of a human being, they could totally enliven him, totally, if you want to use this word, empower him to perform on total different levels of existence. And yes, I became a devotee because of that. I had experienced myself in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness how the chanting of the holy name had totally transformed me and made me into something else than I was before. So I joined the movement with the expectation that soon me and all my fellow devotees would turn into enlightened souls by the power of the holy name. But I soon began to find out that there are two types of experiences. One is that you remain dead, or more or less the person you are, with your karmic conditionings, your limitations, with the complexes that accompany all of us, with the just being that normal self. That was one holy name, was so to say not affecting the person. And there was another experience which was much rarer, where the holy name really became a living holy name and also awakened the person who chanted it to living a very, very amazing, effulgent, brilliant spiritual life that would even help him to give up the material attachments we are all born with, you know, and so on. So I could understand there was a living holy name, and that was here, and there was something which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says only the letters of the holy name, but Krishna is not there. And I began to then remember that that scientist which had captured my imagination as a child. I wanted to find out how is it possible first of all for myself to chant the living names that enliven me and avoid a dead monotonous practice. How is it possible? And second, is it possible to share that with others and teach it? And in this way I came to the idea to have holy name retreats. Our first holy name retreat was up in the Swiss mountains above the clouds. We rented a place called Hari Chalet, the House of Hari it was called. I don't think it was built by a spiritual person, but it had that beautiful name. And we made a retreat where we chanted each day a minimum of 64 rounds, and in the evening had long kirtans. I tried to do this in our movement, but I failed desperately. People became very exhausted and for all night or all day kirtan, and then made many adjustments. And what you see now is perhaps the, I don't know, 30th version of a Holy Name retreat. But I'm still so excited because we will try to pluck the lightning from the sky or bring the living Holy Name into our being, and we hope to have spiritual experiences that will be phenomenal, that will be memorable, that will, let us say, accompany us through the rest of the life. This, of course, is a large project, a super large claim, and therefore I'm nervous, because how can I do this? I think we need to create this together, this experience, so that the Holy Name, the living Holy Name, will appear in our midst and totally, amazingly, surprisingly transform us all. So therefore, I like to conceive of this retreat as satsang. Satsang is a word, Sanskrit word, there's the word sangha, company there, but sat is before, a company that brings us to come in contact with the highest truths. It's an assembly of persons who listen to talks about Krishna, and so on, and then immediately create an atmosphere amongst them where they apply what they have heard. For this company or satsang to work, all of us will have to at least consider 4 points. The first is listening or hearing Shastras or saints. We need to just hear it. Best is we hear it as if we hear it for the first time. That is, without avoiding that our thought processes go in the same directions and we say, oh, I know this already. We don't know this already. We don't know the living Holy Name already. Otherwise, you would be, I don't know, all the time ecstatic human beings. The second thing is, we will need to reflect on the meaning of what we hear. Therefore, there will be throughout the retreats always reflection sessions. During this reflection sessions, we can't be lazy. We have to write things down. We have to share things with our neighbor. We have to complete tasks and so on and so forth. The third thing is, we need to discuss about these higher truths with others, because we all know when we have realized something, we have reflected upon and then share it, it comes to life in another way. And the fourth is, we need to bring these truths or meanings into our daily life. This is the activities which people who commit to satsang, to company of the highest truth, or to company of the eternal, commit to. They listen, they reflect, they discuss, then they assimilate to some extent and bring everything into life. Satsang. Our tradition says it is in sadhu sangha, in the association of devotees, even if they are brief, that all perfections can be attained. So these things will guarantee that our sangha during these 2.5 days or 3 days, I think, or 4 days. I have to look at this, the planner. that they will come alive and that all of you will enter a lift that brings you higher than the Empire State Building in New York. Hare Krishna. I would like to, in the beginning, tell you once again the story of Ajamil, but from a certain perspective. We all have heard this many times. The story is a profound testimony to the mercy and power of the Holy Name. Ajamil, you can see him on the picture, was on his deathbed. And because he had lived a very wrong life, the Yamadutas, the messengers of death, appeared before him to take him to hell, where they were about to punish him. Now, seeing them in their contorted faces, Ajamil anxiously called out the name of his youngest son. Please repeat after me. Narayan! And immediately the servants of God, who's also known Narayan, appeared. They were called the Vishnu Dutas, and they rescued him from the Yamadutas. Thus he was offered a second chance, this Ajamil, to practice bhakti and then perfect his life. So what had happened here? He chanted the holy name unconsciously and therefore was bestowed the greatest mercy. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes apana sanskritim goram yanama vishvaso grinan tata sadyo vimuchita yad bibeti svayam bayam. This verse appears in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, and it describes this pastime that will happen in the sixth canto, after some time. This verse appears there because in the mind of this the speakers of the Bhagavatam, the supreme scripture about God, there is nothing better in the Bhagavatam than this particular point, which is illustrated by the story of Ajamil. The verse reads, living beings like us who are entangled in the complicated meshes or network of death can be freed immediately even if unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Stop. What does the verse say? We are entities in the ocean of samsara, fishes, and we have become entangled in the fisher net, in the net called death, which will all kill us. We are all marked for destruction in this material existence. We have an axe which woodcutters put on trees which they intend to level to the ground in the future. No? So these people can be salvaged, or that's not the right word, they can be freed from this net, this entangling net of material life, by chanting even unconsciously the holy name. This verse has been interpreted in many ways, and it has been used to criticize myself severely and also the holy name retreats. Devotees have said, why do you make all this effort to teach devotees or people to chant with attention the holy name. Let us chant inattentively the holy name. Or let us chant it musically perfectly so that it can capture us at least at our musical side. But why do you insist on going deeper in a spiritual way when Ajamil was saved by calling out the name of his son? Not he was too, so unconscious. And I have always responded the way I would like to respond to this now, because it's important that each participant understands the necessity to go deeper into their practice of the chanting of the holy name. My response will not be mine. It is coming from an exalted acharya whose name you, most of you, are familiar with, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who raises 4 points why we should chant deeply the holy name and not remain on the Ajamil level. His first point is this: Ajamil chanted the holy name of Lord Hari at the time of death. He chanted the name of his son, yet he received the Lord's mercy. And then Vishwanath concludes, then what will happen if you chant throughout your life, not just at the time of death? If this person only chanted at death, but you chant at the time of death, time of your life, every time when you get up, when you go to bed, in between, what will happen to you? Oh. Second point he makes, Ajamil chanted to call his son, but the Lord accepted it as chanting his name, and he received the mercy. Then Vishwanath says, what will be the effect if you called upon the Lord directly? Can you follow his logic? It's at a certain time of lie and nyaya or logic. If this is so, how much more benefit will be there when this and that is done? Third point, Ajamil chanted the Lord's name and his life was full of sin. He had performed many sinful activities, but still he was transformed. Now then, just imagine what transformation will come to you if you follow a pure life, refrain from sin, and chant. Oh, amazing what will happen. And then Ajamil chanted Narayan without faith in the Lord. What will happen if you chant with faith? The point here is, my dear devotees, if there is already such a benefit in coming just in contact a little bit with the fire, you know, of the holy name, what, how much warmth, how much light will come into your life when you come in a deep way in contact? Your life will be transformed. That's a very nice point. Very nice point. I would like to tell you a little bit about my own journey with the holy name. We all have our journey with the holy name. I had received the holy name on the streets of Hamburg in the winter in the snowstorm. I had requested a devotee, you know, they were chanting there, and the snowstorm had not yet happened, and I said, I want to know the words of this mantra. Can you please write it down for me. And he wrote it down, one devotee, I later understood his name was Tamakrishna Goswami. He wrote it down for me. I was young, foolish, and angry child or young man. And I still remember the snowstorm happened. It began at that time. I said, just finish. No. And he just wrote and he gave it and then we ran. Yes. And I remember under, I started to chant when I was highly afraid of being actually, anyways, it was quite dramatic, of being harmed severely. And I chanted the whole night in my under the cover of my bed. I needed to hide, at least I thought so. And I remember when I took that piece of paper and started to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I can't believe that I'm doing this. Krishna, Krishna. Okay, next. Hare, Hare. Oh my God. Hare Rama. Hare Rama? Is it real? The Rama is our margarine. We had a margarine at our home, you know, the, from plants, you know. Do we call it margarine or what? Yeah? Two times Hari Rama? Then again, Rama, Rama. I'm doing it. Hari, Hari. I still remember I was skeptical. It was not very, it didn't come very fluently. I was hesitating. I had not much absorption in the process, but because I was so afraid and I did it the whole night. And when the morning broke through the curtains in my sleeping room and slipped under the blanket where I was hiding, I was totally in bliss. Later, I have, of course, taken up the chanting and I remember when I was around 20 years in the movement, I took this quite serious. I stopped my various activities for 1 month. Just took my bee back with me. At that time I was young and energetic. I went to Vrindavan because I had heard in the Holy Dham, whatever you do is amplified many times. And I went to a place called Ramgat and chanted there in the house of a bridge Basi who gave me a room in his house for, I believe, 110 rupees for 2 weeks. I chanted mostly in the room, and in the evening I went to the, or afternoon, I went to the Jamuna, the sacred river, and chanted on the banks of the river. And I really was very conscious in spending time alone with Krishna in the form of his holy name. I thought to myself, if I could just convince the Lord that I'm seriously looking for his audience or his presence in my life, if he wants, he will respond. I had something in mind which Prabhupada had written. He had said, in other processes, like yagyas or shastic studies, we try to approach God, but when we chant, God approaches us. That motive of the lightning coming down and fulfilling me with life was there. God will approach us and he will come into our heart and so on. And it was very difficult for me during that early times when I chanted, I remembered every lyric of every Rolling Stones song I had ever heard. I remembered all the movies I had ever seen. I remembered all the books I had ever read. It was not a very deep chanting, but I was determined to keep on trying. And after some time, I could see that all of a sudden, the holy name, which I chanted in the beginning out of fear, that was how I started to chant it, when I thought I would be murdered by this opponent. And then the holy name, which I chanted out of stubbornness, when I went to Ramgat and just tried to keep to this practice where I hope God will approach me in some ways, I noticed as the years went by that I chanted more steadily, and that I brought devotional feelings to my chanting, and chanted in a good spiritual mood. As I was chanting, I felt happiness. When I was in kirtan, I could forget my limit, you know, my arrogance, my self-centeredness. I forgot that I was leading the kirtan. I was just glorifying Krishna. And there were moments in my life where the chanting developed a deeper flow, and then moments where I did feel I'm meeting the Lord. It was particularly in chanting before deities who were on the altar. It was particularly when I chanted in a meditative way, thinking about certain verses written by great acharyas of the past, and I closed my eyes and the scenario of the verses came into my heart. I hope to show you that a little later. I have to see how it goes, how far to go here. But then I really felt a meeting was going on. In New Vrindavan, I introduced a photo to the devotees because I will request you to soon do your first reflection exercise. The photo shows the holy names come like raindrops, no, down. Each one has a Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's a little creative. We have to be creative a little bit, no? And then coming on the top of a mountain, and then are the headwaters of chanting. Headwaters, it means it's cold, it's narrow, it's fast moving. It's when your chanting is a bit mechanical. I didn't give my vows and so on. Then it goes into the middle stream. A middle stream is when a lot of vegetation will be nourished by it. Then the chanting will develop a deep flow when you have a length and breadth of the or up and down of your chanting. You know, I don't know how you say this, a vertical, if you would put a vertical line conceptually in your chanting, you would be connected with a deep, humble feeling inside, and you would at the same time pray fervently for the Lord's mercy in your kirtan. And then comes the delta, where you meet the Lord of the name. So I will now request our devotees to give all of you these. There's our Surabhi is there. Maybe we can. There can be others who help her to distribute your own little piece of paper, because when you turn it around, there will be something you should be doing. But let me Surabhi. I'm a little bit too fast here. but you can all continue to distribute. But don't read the paper as of yet. You need it a little later. I made a mistake. Things happen. For now, as you are, I request you to turn to your neighbor. You will be getting your piece of paper while you do this. Please turn to the neighbor. Could be anyone, even a person you have not met before, no problem. You will meet many people here you have not met before. So please do this and find yourself a neighbor. It doesn't have to be your wife. Don't be afraid. Good. Okay, that is not yet the exercise to find a neighbor. That's pretty simple. And discuss now with your neighbor one question. We will put the question on the thing, on the, what is it called, screen. What has been the story of my relationship with the Holy Name so far? I gave you my story. This is one of my millions of stories, they are real. But tell your neighbor really what happened to you on your journey, how you got in contact with the chanting, what are memorable experiences, maybe highlights or deep lights. Do we say deep lights? You know what I mean. Just tell them, please be time efficient and start now. Hari Bol. Time is also there. I'm sorry, I can understand there is much more to talk about in when looking on our own journey. You are welcome to do these discussions also outside of the retreat time. It will bring you closer together. We did this first question or this first discussion really only to come to this to the second question. The second question: what has called me to this retreat? I think you could, of course, say, "Well, I heard it's a nice retreat, or I was invited to come, and so on." But I think we are looking for that answer, which is more in relationship with the content of the retreat, that is the immersion in chanting the Holy Name. So is there something that you can see in your heart that propels you forward, something that is, you could describe as a longing perhaps, or as not yet fulfilled project, or something which you could even call boldly my unlived relationship with the Holy Name? What calls you to engage in this subject? Please share deliberately with your partner. You might have to think a little bit. That is always good before we talk. Thank you very much. Whereas it is easy to give and listen to an introduction like the one which we heard, we were encouraged to form a community of satsangis. We heard Ajamil's story and heard the questions of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. How much can happen to us when we take this serious and chant with faith and a sense of deep connection to Krishna? Yes. We have also, it's also easy to hear or contemplate our own journeys, but for what we will have to do now, we will have to go much, much more deeper. I would even say we have to become something which like spiritual archaeologists. An archaeologist frees an artifact which is buried in by layers of earth and then retrieve it from the grasp of the earth and bring it to the light of the day. So there are many things in us which are buried under our busyness, our attachments, our absent-mindedness, and so on, our conditioned nature. But what we want is to retrieve something that will decide how much we take out of the retreat. And that something is buried deep in our psychology. It's called our deepest intention, a sankalpa, which we have. It has been shown, I just was at a scientific conference, amazing conference, where I could even contribute something on the power of consciousness, where we heard studies about people who were connecting their efforts with the deepest intention. That was not something they projected or theoretically put in there. They had to find something that was really there. So we will guide you now into such an exercise. I see we will go a little bit beyond 7 o'clock. We are a little, but since this program lasts all the way up to 8 o'clock, we will take the time it needs to do this, to form a sankalpa, a deep inner orientation that will lead us through this retreat and help us to really dig treasures, gold nuggets. Yes. So before I introduce this subject, I have to ask a technical question. It seems to us, we printed 200 of this, but not everyone has it. There must be still a bunch of these lying around. Is it? Can you just... Aha, here is a bunch. So Madan Mohan Mohini and our Nityananda has a bunch. So please raise your hand if you have not obtained one of these, beautiful art pieces. Yes. As we distribute the remaining ones, that's an easy thing. I want to introduce now Banu Nandini. Banu Nandini over the years has helped at various retreats and various functions in research and so on, and other such things and organizing. And I thought it's best if, because this is her area, if she introduces the sankalpa and the sankalpa exercise to us. And please be very attentive and fully participatory. You might find something which was lost for a long time in your life. So can I request Banu Nandini to... There she is. Do you have a microphone on your own? Good. So please let us listen to how we will engage most fully in this retreat.
Thank you also, and welcome from my side and from the side of the entire team. Like Manu said, you're really many behind, and you're going to meet some of us during the retreat. But now we're coming to this part, as Manu introduced, of setting the intention or sankalpa. And before we start the exercise, we would just like to share with you one slide. I know our screen is quite small, but you can maybe follow what I say. So see, this is a learning pyramid, or it is actually the pyramid of retaining knowledge, which scientists have studied. So what helps us to retain knowledge? When we just hear something, as you can see there on the top of the pyramid, it says lecture, basically only 5% of what we heard, we will be able to retain. And those are the
yes. When I heard this, I wanted to take a rope and hang myself on a tree. 5% of what I do here.
That's why we are helping with different other things. So Maharaj, hearing and reading is 10%, audiovisual 20%. So we have increased already Maharaj's presentations to 20%. Retaining demonstration 30%, and now it comes. So the active, actually, where we engage more actively with the knowledge that you're receiving, you will retain more, obviously. So if you discuss with each other, like we just now did, an exercise, or as Maharaj has shared earlier, also outside of the classes, if we, you know, don't take the classes only as, okay, what happens inside the class, this is what I'm learning, and outside of the class, I'm relaxing, but we can maybe discuss with the partners, like what touched you, which point, and how do you relate to this, because by discussing about points, which I'm going to hear, and there's going to be many, you can retain 50% actually of what you're going to hear. So we are actually actively helping Maharaj so that he doesn't feel and then, as you can see, 75% we will retain by doing what you are hearing. So applying plays, of course, the biggest part. So whatever we're going to hear, the points, we can always apply them during the Java sessions in the morning, which I'm sure you have read on the schedule. It's going to be a workshop on chanting Java every morning from 5 to 7:30 in the morning. So you can apply what you're going to learn here, or during the kirtans, during each and every kirtan, you can remember or take some of these points and really pray and try to be present and so on. And in this way, you will really take 75% of the retreat with you home. And then teach others. You can also, of course, share what you have heard here, what you have learned when you go home or with your communities and your groups. So this is just something to give us an orientation also why we really do those reflective exercises during these retreats, because they really, really help us to deepen what we have heard and learned. So now you can take a look at the back side of your handout. And there you'll see two parts, actually, of this exercise. The first is called How Will I Engage Most Fully in This Retreat? And the second part is called My Retreat Sankalpa. So let's go part by part. I will just briefly explain to you before you start filling this out. So for the first part, you see there's three bullet points. One says attitude that we should cultivate. The second says mindset that we should hold. And the third is actions that we should take. So we thought, because Sankalpa should come from a deep place in us, it should be really visceral, it should be something that we feel deeply for, not just something that we think in our head, and then tomorrow we forgot already what was Sankalpa that we said in the evening before, but it should come from a deep place. And now when we receive spiritual knowledge, which is like a seed of a beautiful plant, we need to plant it in good, fertile ground. And we know in our bhakti tradition that the ground will become fertile, especially when it comes to chanting the holy names, if we cultivate certain attitudes. Attitudes like being humble, being tolerant, not criticizing, being quick to apologize if you have done a mistake, and so on. They relate, of course, for some of you who know, to one verse from the Shashtakam prayers, the third verse. So when you take the time to go through this exercise, really think deeply, like an attitude that I wish to cultivate during this retreat in relationship to the Holy Name. in the holy name, he is not just a mantra, he is Krishna himself. So what attitude did I take on which will help me so that the seeds of the holy name can really go deep and they can really grow deep? So something like, I want to be humble, I want to be tolerant, if I will not criticize if I see something which is really disturbing me, and so on. And you can come up with your own attitude. So try to search for something really deep. Mindset, we know we can have a growth mindset, or we can have a fixed mindset, for instance. A fixed mindset would be, oh, I've heard this so many times, you know, oh, I know all of this, and then we don't really let anything new in. So we can move into a growth mindset, for instance, and we can hold this throughout the retreat. Or the mindset can be one of openness instead of one of being closed, right? One of being broad-minded instead of being narrow and just looking through the narrow lens of life. Again, what would be our mindset in relationship to the Holy Name, who is Krishna himself? Like, how do I wish to experience this retreat for myself? And then, of course, you can think of some practical actions which are doable, which are easy for you to apply, because it's good if you apply them really throughout the retreat, like I will be punctual, or I will chant an extra round, or my action will be that I will be very present, for example, with each name, each mantra. So you just think about, for you, which of the actions really you are going to take during this retreat. So the three things, attitude, mindset, and actions. So why are we doing this? It's to help us really to come from a deep place. And once you have found this yourself, then you can, on your paper, you see my retreats and kalpa, that's the second part. Then you can just write there, or if you want to write in your own books, you can write in your own books, of course, notebooks. But you can start with, during this retreat, I intend to. So now, very important is that as a kalpa, our intention is going to carry us throughout this retreat, but it's a commitment to somebody. So this retreat sankalpa is not that you're committing to yourself, that you're going to do this or that, but you're committing really to Krishna, to the Holy Name. Like, for example, Anandamurti, he used to be my, for some time, he used to be my sports coach or fitness coach. And then we made a commitment. And so I really had to show up, because I said, I'll commit to this many times a week at this time. And because of my commitment, it really worked. And I made progress. I'm sure you all know this. So when you're writing this, my retreats and kalpa is, or what I intend to do, really think that you yourself are committing to Krishna, to the Holy Name. And you really want to show up. It's not just something that we write and we do an exercise, and then tomorrow we don't remember. Okay? So we will give you some time for this. And in your own space, you can go through the three bullet points to try to really see from which place you want to come, and then you can...
And if I may add, it should be real what you write. You are accountable to yourself, really. So please do some real work here. So there are a few recommendations which we always like to give that helps you to put this... into action, but I really want to give you an example. I put things here down. I knew the exercise was coming, and therefore I was preparing my mind. I have put on the attitude which I wish to cultivate. See, I do have this problem that I sometimes am a little bit in my own little world. So my attitude will be, every single participant was sent here by Krishna and is Krishna's guest. You can check me if I'm doing well, you know. The mindset I wish to hold is, plucking the lightning from the sky, expect miracles. yeah, I'm like this, what can I do? Actions I wish to take, I'm not a good morning person, but I will go early to bed and be early up, full presence. And during this retreat, then my retreat Sankalpa, which came out of this, I want to do what I call practice being in the presence of Krishna. And I give myself the words, be present, Satchidananda Swami, and know that I, Krishna, am with you. No, always Krishna is near. That will help me to be hopefully a good servant of all of you. But there are more things which we can do. Achyuta Gopi has been with us on many retreats in the past. And we have requested her to give you all a little tune. And she also has also this New York urgency in her voice and personality. It will get us on track. Yes, Hare Krishna. Let us welcome our Achyuta Gopi with a full round of heartfelt applause.
Actually, I mean, that was a joke, but also kind of serious in what I wanted to say. And first, can I just take a breath?
Sorry, you're raising.
No, no, really. Like, take a breath. After kind of writing down why we're here, does everybody at least know why you're here? Anyone not know why they're here? Are we sure? Because this question is going to come up a lot. We're probably going to talk to you and talk at you a lot about all of this, about why we're here, about why we have signed up, why we've come here. This was even one of our questions to ask your neighbor, what brought you here? And for me, what I felt like brought me here was Vaishnav Seva. So over and above being able to be with all of my friends in a place where I feel completely safe to be my full New Yorker obnoxious self, it's about Vaishnav Seva. I get a chance to watch other people fall in love with the holy name. And anybody who knows me knows I really love a good love story. And so I get to watch love stories unfold in real time. But for that to happen, I'm going to need all of you to fall in love a little bit. So you kind of have to really dive in deep and be interactive. So we have a minimized distractions. But you can encourage yourself to use it for the right things. And so if you're using it to take notes, perfect. Fine. And if I tell them a story, they've decided that Auntie Ishita knows everything. And so I take it as a really heavy responsibility not to just like tell the kids anything. I really have to feel like I believe and stand by what I'm saying. Because they're going to ask you, as though you really believe and stand by what you're saying. So, you all have signed up, believe it, stand by it, because that's when adventures happen. And so then you'll participate fully. Sing your heart out, because no one else is going to record you when you do. Because it goes back to we're not going to be creepy. So nobody, don't be afraid about it. We all come here for the same things, and you'll see every kirtaniya, I'm sure, will probably be begging you to sing a little louder, a little bit deeper, because we are actually yearning to complete our service. And our service depends on all of you. So when we're here doing kirtan, our service depends on we are yearning to hear a roaring response of the holy name.
because then we really feel like it's coming from the heart and the soul. So we kind of need you to be involved. And then reflect about your experiences and your takeaways. I'm a big fan of journaling. So at the end of the day, write a little love letter to the Holy Name. So basically, you're kind of all going on a blind date with Namu. We facilitated speed date. In 3 days, we're going to introduce you. Hopefully, you'll get to know more about Namu. Hopefully, we'll have some experiences where you feel like you've gotten a little closer, where you feel like you can almost see the Holy Name. And then we'll send you back to your homes to finish your long-distance relationships with Namu. But it really is about relationships, so don't be afraid to be responsible. Take responsibility for that relationship, because that's when Sachinanda Maharaj can expect miracles. But we can't do that without all of you. And so I urge you, why wait until after the retreat? Why wait till the last day? Why not make an experiment? Crack your heart open from the very beginning and see what happens. So we'll do check-ins. We'll have some emotional check-ins. We'll see how everybody's feeling. I'm available. I'm a talker. I'm here. And my sankalpa was about Vaishnava Seva, so if I don't do that, I feel like I'm failing. And I'm seeing people that I've seen since last year, and I'm excited to see how life has treated you since then. And I'm sure that Krishna is also excited to hear how life has treated you since then. So, we're all in this together, and we can remember to be in it fully together. All kind of swimming through this headwaters, middle waters, the delta, the deep flow waters of the Holy Name, all of us together. So thank you. I'm excited to see what we can do. We can all help Maharaj expect miracles, yes?
Thank you so much, Achyuta Gopi. I couldn't do it. I couldn't even imagine to. You have such a very good, motivating way. Yes, and let us mark what Achyuta Gopi said. She said she is available, and I know the other Kirtan devotees are also here, available for you to discuss outside the sessions. We really want to get into this concept of satsang, no? Not just hearing a lecture, but satsang, having association. We will, for the rest of the time which we have here, in half an hour or something like this, we will do our first kirtan. During this time, Surabhi, whom many of you know, will do a puja to Nam Prabhu in this form here. And you can please come up there. Who is? Do you have helpers? There are devotees who will give you petals, flower petals. Maybe. Yes. And you please pick up the flower petals, make a little artik, join Surabhi in her artik. And it's nice if you become a little personal with the Holy Name and tell him what is your sankalpa, you know. Sometimes I feel the chanting really, for miracles to happen, requires an attitude change, you know. So be a little personal. Tell him your sankalpa, and perhaps ask for strength and help, and so on. Good. Is that clear? And then when the kirtan ends, I will have to say, I would like to greet all of you personally, but we have some immediately a meeting here, and with the kirtaniyas, so that we can serve you best. So I request you then to move towards your evening dinner and your beds. And please remember, tomorrow we start already at 5 o'clock here. Then there will be an interruption for the darshan and so on in the temple. If I'm correct, Surabhi, please correct me. The darshan happens at 7:15, right? And followed by Guru Puja to Prabhupada. And then the lecture starts here. Let's see how good we are doing this with the time. But we wanted to start at 7:45, if possible. I should not say if possible. Please be here with German punctuality. It's very important. It's the first, we call it discovery lecture, because that will, what we hear there will be the groundwork or foundation of what we will practice for the rest of the day. More announcements will follow, but it's good if you already think of coming here in the morning. I can understand if you don't make it all for the morning japa session, but the last time when you should make it is 7:45 here. Please keep that in your mind and be in a good alert state of mind. Not that we have to carry you in stretchers up here because you're so tired. Hare Krishna. We immediately feel when we chant, oh, good, good, good. The clouds, they all disappear, and we put our heads into the, on our hearts, into that realm, that space that the holy name provides for those who chant sincerely. My dear devotees, I thank you very much for participating in entering the retreat, the first session. We will end here. Please remember, 5:00, a guided japa session here, 7:15, the darshan of the deities in the temple room, and then Prabhupada's Guru Puja, but then 7:45 with your usual punctuality, please, here in the temple for the here in the Kirtan Hall, we call this the Kirtan Hall, for the first discovery lecture. It's good that we are on time, because then we can cover everything and don't need to go over time. I wish you a wonderful first night here. Sleep well. If you can't sleep, do as many push-ups until you die. Then you can sleep very nicely. That's how I do when I can't sleep. First night is always, we need to adjust to the new beds and everything. Fine. Thank you very much. Those who have not yet found an opportunity to offer the flowers, what to do that in their mind. We feel it's good now if you move on in your evening, and we will have the room for important secret talks. That is for all those who are working on this. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo.